You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. A discussion now of glimmers of hope and ripples of consequences on that troublesome debt ceiling controversy in Washington, D.C. On the glimmers of hope side, Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
And on the ripples of consequences, Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, The New York Times, is with us. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Todd, let's begin with you. The Gang of Six, the so-called Gang of Six, and please remind us who that is in a moment, delivered to President Obama yesterday what appeared, at least to, if you looked at his face, to be some pretty darn good news. President Barack Obama sees light at the end of the tunnel here.
For us to see Democratic senators acknowledge that we've got to deal with our long-term debt problems that arise out of our various entitlement programs, and for Republican senators to acknowledge that revenues will have to be part of a balanced package that makes sure that nobody is disproportionately hurt from us making progress on the debt and deficits, I think is a very significant step.
Well, Todd Zwillig, the Democratic and Republican lawmakers that he's talking about are this Gang of Six who proposed a compromise, which may or may not have the support of the so-called radicals in the House. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, the president sounds enthusiastic there, doesn't he? All right, the Gang of Six, just to remind you real quickly, three Republicans, three Democrats. Democrats Warner, Durbin, and who's the third Democrat? I just forgot. Anyway, the Republicans, the three C's, Crapo, Chambliss, and Tom Coburn, all negotiating a bipartisan deal for months and months and months. And John, remember on yesterday's program, we said the Gang of Six is coming back today. We'll see what happens. Well, here's what happened. 50 senators got briefed on it. Then the president came out at 1:30 and gave it a big cuddly hug. He said it was good news. Now, here's what it does. Real briefly, the Gang of Six would reduce the deficit by about $3.7 trillion over 10 years. It flattens out the tax code. It contains major tax reform. It cuts about $500 billion right away from the deficit. And it looks like it gives everyone sort of a tax break by lowering marginal rates, flattening out the tax code. But get this, claims that it actually brings in over $1 trillion in new revenue. Now, here's the good thing about it in terms of getting a deal. The left hates it, and the right hates it. And that means it just might work. Oh, I just remembered. The last member of the Gang of Six, Kent Conrad.
Remembered.
Celeste, help me. How could I forget Kent Conrad?
So, yeah. Todd Zwillig, the principal issue here that made the markets roar yesterday was the fact that it's $3.7 trillion, which is different from the $4.2 trillion that some of the Tea Party folks were talking about. There's no constitutional amendment to balance the budget, and revenues are actually in there. Louise Story, was the market sort of uptick yesterday, a reaction to this Gang of Six, a theoretical compromise, do you think?
Absolutely. The memo that they put together with a proposal was sent around the market. I had a number of people who trade treasuries email it right to me and say, you know, this is the first glimmer of real hope that we've seen. And the market rallied. So people are positive about the prospects with this.
So, Todd Zwillig, then, is that an invitation? Louise Story says the markets are positive, but is this an invitation for members of the House, including Mr. Eric Cantor, the majority leader, to possibly try to shut this down?
Eric Cantor actually had some positive things to say about this plan, which surprised a lot of us on the Hill. He said that it was constructive. He said it contained many of the elements that were contained in his talks that went on for weeks and months with Joe Biden. He said, of course, he doesn't like the fact that it raises $1 trillion in new revenue. And when the details come out, that could be what Eric Cantor and a lot of Republicans call a tax increase. But I do want to stress, John, that this Gang of Six plan is not going to be directly linked to any deal on the debt limit within the next 12 days. There's no time. It's too big and too complex. What this may do, if it does give them the avenue to a deal, is let them cut spending, do something smaller, much smaller in the short term, something along that Reid-McConnell compromise we've talked about, just getting the debt limit raised, but then have either some kind of resolution or gentleman or gentleladies handshake or agreement that something around the Gang of Six is what they do in the fall or in the near future to lower the debt and the deficit. They may pick and choose some elements of this plan and stick them on a debt limit plan. Remember, what they have to do in the next 12 days is raise the debt
limit. Well,
there's no emergency to cut spending, but they want to do that because of politics.
Well, not only because of politics. And Louise Story, this is the other element that we need to talk about with you, is if there are, and we talked about this a little bit last week, if there is no deal, then the federal government really has to make some priorities and basically decide where they're going to actually send revenue. And if they decide not to send revenue to certain states in the U.S., those states could end up defaulting, which is sort of the ripple effect of what a no deal on the debt ceiling could actually mean. What are your sources telling you about the creditworthiness of U.S. states if they don't make a deal in Washington?
Yeah, there are a lot of consequences of not raising the ceiling because the rating agencies have said they will downgrade the United States if it doesn't make any sort of payment, you know, Medicaid or payments to its workers. Now, yesterday, Moody's said that the five states that are most vulnerable to having their own credit downgraded, which would mean it'd be harder for those states to raise debts and they'd have to pay higher interest costs, those five states are Maryland, South Carolina, New Mexico, Tennessee, and Virginia. And Moody said the reason they're the most vulnerable is because they have many, many federal employees who are at risk of not being paid by the federal government. They also have more sensitive economies, and they also have particularly high amounts of money they get from the federal government for Medicaid, which might be one of the things the federal government does not pay if the debt limit is not raised.
Louise Story, you know, you've talked a lot about how the stalemate in Washington has actually hurt people's confidence in the United States as a well-run business. If they get some kind of far-reaching deal, does this fix that?
You know, the problem is if you were a stock investor and you looked at a company's board and it was taking them this long to reach a deal, you might have some doubts going forward permanently, even if a deal is reached. So some people are saying maybe there's already been collateral damage to the United States and the market.
Louise Story, Finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, The New York Times. What can lawmakers do about that in Washington today, Todd?
John, they can head back to the White House for more talks with the president. There's a sense of renewed energy and renewed vigor. We'll see if it gets them anywhere in the next 12 days.
And we'll see if Cantor actually waves it forward, gives it a green light. The market futures for Wall Street are up this morning, and gold is back down below $1,600 an ounce. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.